We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Talking Halos, post-opening day edition. That's right, post-opening day edition. Here we are. Yay. Angels lose 11-3. Brutal. Brutal. But nonetheless, we are here to cover it with Derek C. Paul, myself. That's Jared Timms and Nate Green. Negative Nate. You have right to be negative Nate today. It was ugly. But maybe there's some silver linings there. First thoughts going to Jared. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Baseball's back. Salt Lake gets rained out opening night, but other than that, baseball's back. Angels suck, kind of, but yeah, we're good.
Well, that's a way to announce your first game of the season. They suck. That's going to keep those listeners just pouring in for this year.
Let's be fair. They did suck on opening night. Will they continue to suck? I don't know, but we'll see.
I mean, it was bad. Against a very good Baltimore team, a team that was fired up with their new ace, Corbin Burns. Nate Green. Nate.
Doing good. Baseball's back. It's exciting. It's fun time.
That's it? Nothing else? I
mean, there's nothing else to say.
Nothing else to say?
No.
All right. Well, talking about this game, three things I took from it. Three things you guys took from it as well. Three things I took from it. One, Patrick Sandoval had no business, in my view, being the opening day starter. That used to be traditionally the guy who's your ace, kind of like what they, or was it with Corbin Burns? They threw the race out there right away, and he set the tone. But he doesn't look good.
Corbin Burns? Oh, Sandoval.
No.
Who would you have Sandoval. Given it to, though? I want to know who you would have given it to.
Who I would have given it to?
Yeah. I only think there's one right answer. If it's not Patrick Sandoval, I think there's really only one right answer. And Jared's not going to give it.
I will go with Detmers, but.
Okay. Jared.
Tyler Anderson. It would have, to be fair, and this is not actually a joke. I probably would have given it to Tyler Anderson. You're going in against a good team. You know you're facing. You never want to like try to match up in baseball. I don't think until you're into the playoffs, like because this season's so long, you can't match up. But let's be fair. You're going into opening day in Baltimore against Corbin Burns. You know he's probably going to pitch well. Just let Tyler Anderson throw. He's got the veteran experience. Like none of these other guys have ever. Have any of these other guys even had an opening day start?
But hold on.
Has Tyler Anderson?
No, but he's at least veteran presence that's been in.
Veteran experience. Sandoval's been in the league for years now at this point. He's not some rookie.
I mean, opening day is a little bit of a different beast. It's like pitching the postseason at that point. I mean, granted, you can
say. But you just said Tyler Anderson hasn't done it before. So what does it matter? If he hasn't done it before, it's the same as Patrick Sandoval making his first career opening day start.
All right, Nate, who's your guy?
I give to Chase Silseth. Chase Silseth is the guy with the best stuff on the team. It's not close. That's the guy who needs to start opening day.
He's not a veteran.
I'm not on the veteran train. That was Jared, but I'm on who has the best stuff should start the first game.
You make a good point, and I need to go back and think about that because the guy I imagine having the best stuff is Detmers, but he's never really proven. At least Chase Silseth's been proving it in the last year when he's healthy, how good he can be. So that makes sense completely, and I'm really hoping to see what these other stars can do, because I'm convinced at this point guys like Sandoval aren't the answer. I used to be a lot higher on Sandoval. I don't know what's happened with this guy, but he looks so unhappy on the mound half the time.
Well, they don't play good defense behind him, and it's pretty obvious why. He's pretty bad with throwing strikes, and he's pretty bad with tempo. And when you're a defender, you want good tempo and you want strikes, because you don't want to be on the field for 35 minutes an inning. So you got to be getting ahead in the count, you got to throw strikes, and you got to have good tempo. There were a couple times yesterday where he was waiting until literally 1 second to throw the pitch on the pitch clock, and it's like the all that stuff, it just adds up. The longer they're sitting out there, the longer they're going to be on their heels, the more defense is going to be a problem, the more he's going to pout. I mean, it's the same cycle, and it really needs to. I don't understand why they haven't fixed that, because that is the most obvious thing that I've cried about with Patrick Sandoval, is the pouting, but it's the tempo. It's unacceptable, that bad tempo, especially with the pitch clock.
I think Ronald Washington's not going to pull that all year. He's
Oh,
not that kind of
not.
manager. Not. Anyways, other stuff, Mike Trout. He's still Mike Trout.
On pace for 162 home runs.
Still Mike Trout. Here's a question. What do you put the odds that he stays healthy all year?
What's your game number? Because obviously all year, like, I mean, there's only a handful of guys that play 162 games. So, like, are you saying he plays 140 plus games? What are the odds on that? Or is it
Yeah,
a hundred?
let's go 140 plus. What are the odds?
I put it at 30%.
Thirty percent.
I was gonna go a little higher and say 40, but 140 games is not. How many? I'd be interested to know how many guys, and I know I'm going up here a little bit. How many guys last year played over 150 games? Can't be very many guys
Almost.
in the league.
You had a bunch of Braves plus Freddie Freeman, so.
Yeah. So there weren't very many though that play that many games during the season. I mean, it's kind of tough to stay healthy and play 100 and even 45 plus games. 140, yeah, I'd say that's one IL stint plus days off. Yeah, that sounds, 40% chance, 30% chance.
I'm going 50%.
Okay. I'm going
So
50%.
140, Jared? Was that your number you wanted to know?
150, but I mean 140, I think there's gonna be a lot more at 140 games.
I had 96 guys play 140 games
Yeah.
last year, and 150, you're looking at 55 guys playing at least 150 games. So
Still,
that's a pretty good number, actually.
mean, what, that's almost to a team. So, yeah.
That's pretty good.
And then for 140, it's what, three guys a team basically? Plus, I mean, take away the Braves, I guess, because I don't know if anybody played 140 games for the Angels last year.
Did anybody? My gosh.
Did they?
Just think everybody's hurt. Neto, no. Ohapi, no.
Shohei might have.
Rendon, no. Trout,
Shohei?
no. Shohei
Shohei
missed a
missed the
lot of
last
plays.
month.
It's close.
Close. I'd say play 135 games. I don't know if anybody played over 140 games for the Angels last year. I wonder when Shohei played 160 last the year before that, and then I think what 21 he played. Yeah, so I mean, it doesn't happen. I'm just saying it doesn't happen very often. Too many guys. I mean, you get two, three guys that do it on a team. I mean, math.
Renfro played 140. I know that doesn't count, but he did play 140.
Wait, let him go though. So,
Ohtani played 135. So, yeah, you're looking at not too many Angels were playing 140. Rengifo was 126. I think that was the third most by an Angel last year. So, yeah, it doesn't happen very often. Is it possible that Wash put them in a better position by starting spring training a little bit earlier, probably putting them in a little bit better shape to be able to play every day? It's possible. You're a little bit younger this year as well, not as many old guys playing. You're starting the year with the young guys. Yeah, the young guys played a lot last year, but it was a month or two, 3, 4 months in before they really started to play every day. So I think that's a big advantage to playing every day, is being young and being able to do it every day. But so I do think you'll see more Angels do it. Do I see Mike Trout doing it? I mean, that's one injury, and he's out, 15, 10, 15, 20 games, and there he is. He's going to miss the 140 mark. So I don't know.
I think he's due for a healthy season. Just like, I mean,
You
he's
hope.
due.
You
You hope
hope.
he's due. I'm gonna shoot that shot and go 50%. Why not?
That's
No.
fine. I mean,
Hopefully,
I hope that's what it is.
I'm thinking, just by putting DH here and there, so I'm just giving him some rest for being in the field that helps preserve him some. Who knows? Who knows? Anything else about the game? I mean, when you lose 11-3 opening day, there's not a whole lot you can really say. You're not you, you can't evaluate a whole lot with players yet. You need the whole series, so we'll definitely have more to say come Sunday evening. But was there anything about the game that kind of stood out to you guys?
So two things for me. One, the prize bullpen was not very good. I know we only used one guy that was signed this offseason and only signed to, well, I guess two guys signed this offseason. One of them signed to $1 million and he was not very good. Angels used most of their money on bullpen this year and the bullpen was not good at all. So
I
that's
can't
one.
say.
Hey, one game is one game. I know, but if you're getting paid, if we're gonna pay relievers, you better be good early, right? Because you're not going to get better as the season goes along. Because the more wear and tear, the more you're not going to be ready to pitch all the time. So I think that's something to be looking at early. How good do these prize possessions that we paid for pitch well? I mean, you already have Stevenson on the IL. You've got Moore who's paid. You've got Cisneros who was paid. Estevez was paid last year. You've got a lot of guys that have been paid. So this bullpen better be one of the better bullpens in Major League Baseball is what I'm going to say. The other thing that I was a little confused on is Miguel Sano starting at DH. It makes absolutely no sense to me. Right on right, one of the better right-handed pitchers in the American League, if not the best healthy pitcher in the American League, because Gerrit Cole is going to be out for at least 2 months, being put on the 60-day IL 2 days ago. Why Miguel Sano there? You had Mickey Moniak, Aaron Hicks could have DH'd, Mickey Moniak could have DH'd. There were Luis Rengifo could have DH'd, or Drury could have DH'd. Like, there were a lot of different options there. And I know Miguel Sano is that cool story that everyone's super excited about. He hit a couple homers in spring training. He also hit about a buck 80 in spring training. So it's not like he was tearing the cover off the ball. And you're looking at a guy who is Mickey Moniak, who hit 280 last year, really came on strong for the Angels. And he doesn't get a start on opening day against a right-handed pitcher with, yeah, he's got a good cutter, but really, are we that convinced that Miguel Sano is the answer? I mean, he's 30, 32 years old. He hasn't played in the major leagues in 2 years, and the last time he played in the major leagues, he had a buck 60. So I didn't understand it. I think that's going to be something to monitor as well, is how many at bats are we giving him? Because that dude signed a minor league deal off the streets, and we were the only ones really in on him. So maybe there was one or two other teams, but how many other teams are going to say you're the starting DH on opening day and you're going to play, 30 of the next 40 games, which would be crazy to me.
Jared.
I mean, tonight's point to the bullpen. It's hard when you're coming into a 7-1 game. I mean, you want to
The
throw
bullpen
strikes.
made 7-1.
I mean, Sandoval made it seven. Sandoval's the one that made it 7-1. I mean, you gotta start better than that. But yes, I do agree. You got to come in. Zuniga looked good. Simber looked good. There's two of your acquisitions there. The only one that didn't look good was Cisnero. And then you put all your money into
Your
Jose
boy Jose
Suarez.
Suarez too.
No,
Don't
I
forget
said
Jose
you
Suarez.
put all your money into Jose Suarez. I wasn't putting anything
Don't
into.
forget Jose Suarez pitched and he was,
He was what?
whatever.
All right,
Take whatever. Take whatever you want away from one game.
For the record, one game. And by the way, that one team, that one game, though, is a favorite to at least win the AL East, if not win the whole thing this year, Baltimore. And they're in their home opener with their newly acquired ace. I would probably chalk this up to it was probably bound to happen. By the way, you
Starts.
guys are talking about games, right? You're talking about I don't know if you caught in the broadcast the focus they had on Cal Ripken Jr. And I was just blown away at the conversation we just had where no one the Angels were really is playing more than 135 games last year. This guy played 200, sorry, 2000. Broke the record 2632, played some more, and end up, breaking Lou Gehrig's re record overall. And you're gonna be thinking, man, we can't even do that today. No one's gonna do that. I don't think that record will ever be broken.
No. That's, and the funny thing is, with all the technology and things to allow guys to recover faster, we are more concerned about making sure these guys are healthy by giving them off days and stuff like that than letting them play every day. So yeah, I don't think that record will ever be broken. I think Marcus Simeon might be the leader in games played, and he might be at like 200 and something. Like it's not a big number for consecutive games played right now.
All right, matchup tomorrow for game two, Griffin Canning versus Grayson Rodriguez. I'm interested in seeing Canning. His pitching this spring training was interesting. Grayson Rodriguez is supposed to be the second coming of Christ.
I'm interested in seeing Grayson Rodriguez, to be honest.
Yeah,
That's a
he
fun
came on
name.
late last year too. So I'm looking forward to that matchup overall. It's a 4 o'clock game Eastern time, 1 o'clock Pacific. What are you guys looking for tomorrow?
Better defense, better tempo from the starting pitching. Not better defense. Actually, it starts on the mound. Better tempo from the starting pitching, more strikes. Get your defense involved early. You don't got to strike everybody out in Canning, I think Canning knows that. So I think if you know you're able to put bat on ball, and that's not a small field there in Baltimore anymore. They've moved the field, they moved the fences back for a reason. Don't be afraid to, you know, give up a fly ball or two going into it. I know it's a good offense, but you got to rely on your defense sometimes, and that's just something that Patrick Sandoval did not do. But I mean, fun pitching matchup in general. I'm excited to see Grayson Rodriguez pitch as a prospect guy.
Nate.
Yeah, I'm excited to see can Griffin Canning keep the pitch count down. I think that was one thing that hurt him last year is he was 105, 106 pitches deep a lot, and it seemed like it was very early, like five innings. Maybe he got through the sixth and was able to get through 100, 110 pitches, 115. I even remember 120, I think it was. So can he compete with the pitch count down? Because we got to be able to get something out of our starting pitchers. We can't ask our bullpen to be getting 18 outs at every single game. It's just way too much for them. So I'm interested to see they're talking about Griffin Canning being this bulldog and the guy who really should be taking lead of the staff. Can he do that? We'll see.
I agree with you. I've been waiting to see Griffin Canning take that next step. I'm never invited to be an ace, but take the next step for a while now. And he showed signs last year. So I'm really interested in seeing, especially how Patrick Sandoval performed last time out, seeing how Canning reacts now being in that position. I'm really looking forward to that pitching matchup overall. Grayson Rodriguez last year was not very good coming up, came back up later in the year. It was lights out for the Orioles. And the buzz around him is future Cy Young. Let's see how he does tomorrow. Real quick, before we head out for our ads, just so you know, in case we didn't talk about it before, Mike Stefanik on the IL 10 days, retroactive to March 25th. Robert Stevenson, one of our big bullpen guys, on 15-day DL or IL, retroactive March 25th, and they place Sam Bachman on the 60-day injured list. That was yesterday, March 28th. And for our audio listeners, there's a word from our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys. So Hey,
Also, you also forgot one more guy. Jared's guy went on the IL too, 60-day IL, Kelvin Caceres today.
yeah, he did. Oh,
So,
they didn't have that on the Angels PR
so
section yet.
60-day IL for Kelvin Caceres. That is going to be a big loss for the Angels because he is an upper nines guy. Made his major league debut last year. Just more bullpen depth that's getting hurt. But luckily, they were able to add someone.
Luckily. Luckily. Okay, here we go. Other baseball stuff yesterday and today thus far. Well, I'm gonna go with today because I know you mentioned you know Tyler O'Neill. So what'd y'all think about that play at second base? Mets Brewers, Rhys Hoskins running into Jeff McNeil. It gets ugly, bench is clear. Dirty? Not dirty. What do you say?
Are you talking to old school me or new school me? Because new school, it's dirty. Old school, I absolutely love it. You're breaking up a double play. That's what we were taught as kids. I sound old right now, but I mean that's what you're taught as a baseball player in general, is to break up the double play. I didn't think he might have slid a little late, but it wasn't horrible. I've seen worse slides at second base. Chase Utley, there have been worse slides at second base than that one. I'll say that. Did he get a little long with it? Yeah, but I didn't think it was that bad.
I thought it was very close to the Chase Utley slide, actually.
Ooh, I don't know.
It was very close to that. It was late. If he slid, maybe. Luckily, McNeil caught it and went back. If McNeil had caught it clean and gone to first, I think McNeil's leg is broken. I think that's how late and hard he slid into him. Yeah, he got spiked. He's a little pissed off about that. But I think he was more pissed off about possibly breaking his leg, and that's where I found there to be a little bit of an issue. It's a legal slide, yes, but is it one that you're looking to make on opening day? No, I don't think that's a slide you're trying to make opening day. Super late, and right into the guy. Like, yeah, you're trying to break up the double play, but that seemed like it was so bad that if he didn't hold on to the bag, he was going to go past the bag. That's how late he was sliding, and how hard he was sliding into Jeff McNeil, and it was kind of like, eesh, we know there's some bad blood with Hoskins and the Mets, but that was kind of a late slide.
I took another look at it. It was definitely a late slide. Again, taught to break up a double play, but it was a late
It's
slide. He went to the
game one
side.
of
He
this
also went to the
it's game
side
one
though.
of the season. You're not looking to break some dude's leg game one of the year. That's tough. Like, I know
Just talked about the
Rhys
Angels
Hoskins.
bullpen on day one, like it was World Series game seven.
Okay, but we're talking about a bullpen that we spent 38 of our 40 million on, compared to a guy who's hopefully trying to play 162 games, just like we talk about, doesn't happen too often, but the guy's trying to play as many games as possible, and you're gonna go out there and try and break a guy's leg on the first day of the year. That's tough. That's real tough.
I agree. Well, I know, heaven forbid, I agree with Nate multiple times on the podcast, but
Well,
I am actually. It was late. Legal, yes. Legal, yes. But just because it's legal doesn't make it dirt, doesn't make it not dirty. Came in late, spike up on the guy's ankle. That's one. The other leg there, and I saw comments on social media. Well, you should have gotten out of the way. Do you think that's what McNeil's thinking about as he's trying to get the ball out of the glove, which he didn't, to first base? That's his job right there. He's not thinking that Hoskins is coming in late like that. By the way, Hoskins' reaction at the end, where he's at back by his bench and he's doing the whole crying tear thing, talking trash, is like, dude, you should know better. Like, you just came back from a torn ACL. Seriously, you just came back from a torn ACL and you're sitting here acting like you could have just taken out Jeff McNeil's whole season. That's the part that rubbed me the wrong way. Not the slide. I mean, I don't think he purposely was running to Jeff McNeil. I think he just made a dumb move, didn't think it through, slid late.
You do got to remember that the way, though, with which Rhys Hoskins coming from the Phillies Mets seem to be a pretty big rivalry lately. Hoskins hit that home run a couple years ago, and he took like 40 seconds to round the bases.
I
So
know. I remember.
there's already some bad blood between these teams. Like, I think if this
Players. That is the
happens,
Brewers Mets. wasn't Mets. It
No,
wasn't Mets and Phillies.
but it's Rhys Hoskins and the Mets that have the bad blood, right? Like, no matter what team he's on, the Mets don't like Rhys Hoskins. Just like you could have put Chase Utley on any team, the Mets would have thrown at him. It didn't matter what team he was on. So I know that there's already some bad blood. If it was another guy, if this is Christian Yelich who makes that slide, McNeil's probably pissed, but he's not this pissed off. I think it's more so because it's Rhys Hoskins that the Mets are a little bit pissed off because, you know, once you get that guy that you're like, man, I really don't like this guy, I think that carries a lot of weight.
I'm sure Rhys Hoskins did a great job of alleving some of that, but the sideline,
Yeah,
dude,
right.
just
Like
come on, man.
that probably doesn't help both
I
sides.
mean,
Like
what you
that
could have
just
been
makes
like
it.
is immediate, like, listen, dude, I wasn't on purpose. I'm sorry. And eventually things will calm down. Let's go ahead and just, you know, poke the bear some more. But anyways, yeah. Any other first impressions from opening day, first couple of days, guys? Jared?
I got nothing. I haven't really watched anything besides the Angels.
And you call
Angel
yourself a
fans, it
baseball
could
fan.
always be worse. It
Nah.
could be the Rockies.
He
You
took my
could be the Rockies
nice.
and give up 14 in an
Appreciate
inning.
it.
So we haven't gotten there yet. It could get worse. Be
It
happy
could
it's
be.
not that bad.
It could be. Well, you know, there is one thing to mention. Our divisional rival, the Oakland Athletics, soon to be Las Vegas or somebody Athletics, last night sold 13,000 opening day seats and nobody showed up because they were all outside protesting, demanding that John Fisher sell the team. When the game started, it was pretty much an empty stadium. Let me ask you guys a question. If you're a baseball, how do you feel about this right now? It's a blight for me as a baseball traditionalist. This is a blight on baseball, but what do you guys think, Jared?
I mean, you have a passionate fan base that I wish Angels fans did it. Right? Like that'd be kind of fun, huh? But yeah, I mean it's not good for baseball for sure, but I mean good for A's fans standing up. I mean that place is it's been a mess there for a while, and I mean when you're not investing into the team, which you can say already invests in the team, and we might not like how he does it, but he invests into the team. Oakland, yeah, that's a tough situation there. I'm like Nate said with the Rockies, I'm glad we're not A's fans. That'd be tough. They went through some very, very good years. Like, I mean, we can all attest to that. I mean, that was you had to go through Oakland to win the West for a little while there for, you know, five. Maybe 10 straight years. It was Angels, Oakland, and the Rangers. You had to go through one of those three teams for a while. And but yeah, it's not good for baseball, but I mean good for A's fans standing up.
I actually think it is good for baseball, as weird as that sounds. I think A's fans showing up and not showing up shows the owner that one, you need to be better as an owner. You need to take care of the fans, which I think is good for Major League Baseball to realize that the owner is putting stuff on for the fans. Like the fans are what make this thing go. The owner, like, yeah, they've got the money to make the players be on the field, but without the fans, it's very hard to make this thing go. The other thing, I think it's good because the A's don't spend any money. Like, it's bad for Major League Baseball that teams don't spend money. It is terrible that Oakland says we're going to go out there with a payroll less than Shohei Ohtani makes. We're going to go out there with a payroll less than the Dodgers spent in an afternoon. Like those kind of things aren't good for Major League Baseball. So I'm glad that somebody kind of stood up to one of the teams that isn't spending money. And like we always say, winning solves a lot of problems. If they're going to be winning, it changes things, but they're not winning and doing these things. So I think good for Oakland. It's not a great look for Major League Baseball, but I think it's good for the game in general because it's going to wake up some of these really bad owners that are like, we're not going to spend any money because we need to, I need to make way too much money instead of just make enough money where we can still compete and still win baseball games and put some really fun guys on the field.
As for me, I think it's bad for baseball. I think anytime you have something like that going on, I think it's a bad look for baseball when MLB is basically just letting things go as they are. It's kind of like this is a Athletics franchise that, believe it or not, has a pretty proud history. Vida Blue, those A's teams in the 70s, the Bash Brothers. I mean, there's a lot of good history there. Competed all through the 2000s with crap payrolls. There's just a lot there that the franchise should be better represented. And by the way, those old Angels A's series, especially in the 2000s, they were a lot of fun to watch. As much as you might hate saying that, that was a rivalry. The A's and Angels were always a rivalry to me, more than the other American League West series. So hope they suck a little while longer, but have some pride for crying out loud. Anyways, that's all I got today, guys. Anything else you want to say closing out?
Jose Suarez should still be DFA'd.
Fun pitching matchup on Sunday. Detmers and Tyler Wells. I'm excited to see that one as well. A couple young studs there. So, but other than that,
Absolutely.
Stud is loose.
absolutely looking forward to it. All right, guys. Follow us on Twitter at Talking Halos or X, or we want to call it. Follow Jared at Jared underscore Timms, Nate at Green 34, me at DC Apollo. We'll see you all soon. Have a great one.